Jesus, lift the roof on this place. Oh. I love shouting. I love it. But I think the only danger with shouting is that sometimes it can feel like it's hype. And it's not. At least it's not for me anyway. Truth is that I have no right to be here tonight, if not by the blood and power of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage us tonight as we stand in His presence, as we have the opportunity on the last session to encounter God, maybe for the first time, or for the first time in a long time. I believe tonight God is going to move in power. Someone once told me that God's only limitation is your expectation. It's not about the seed of the word tonight. It's about the soil that it goes to. And I just want to encourage you. It's been a long weekend. I think this is message number like 6 for me this weekend, in the kids and in the youth and now tonight. But I just want to encourage you that I'm expectant for what God is going to do. I believe tonight God is going to open the heavens and pour out fresh oil. I believe tonight someone's about to get radically changed forever. And I'm really excited about it. I am so grateful to be here. And I'm expectant. I've already said that 12 times. That's how expectant I am. I'm going to preach a message tonight called From Leaky to Living. From Leaky to Living. If we're going to live a life by faith, we need to stop leaking what God gives us and start actually living. And so tonight, while we're standing, let's pray and let's just ask the Lord right now. Could you lift your hands all across the room tonight as a sign of surrender and expectation? Even now, the power of God's filling the room. Even now, lives are beginning to be touched afresh. It's not hype. It's not a fad. It's not noise. It's the power of God. Father, we love you. You are holy. You are holy. You are holy, and we're in awe of you, God. Tonight, I'm asking, God, that you would anoint what little words I have to say. God, that tonight, by your power, you would show up, change our lives forever. I pray tonight, God, that you slow the clock down and you speed my words up in Jesus' name. If you love him one more time, could you clap your hands and thank him as you grab a seat tonight? You grab a seat, grab a seat, grab a seat, grab a seat, grab a seat. Thank you, band. How good has the band been all weekend? Come on, if you've been blessed by the praise and worship. I think that's one of my things that I love the most about conferences. I'm a bit of a conference junkie. Like, if I could just conference hop all the time, I'd be super ineffective, but I'd be so full of the power of God. I love it. I love conferences. And one of the things I love about being a pastor is the opportunity to build conferences. And at Arise in Wellington, we would have these big conferences, Arise Conference. And one year, while I was on staff, it was the Wednesday before the conference, and it takes a lot of work to put a good conference together. And I just want to echo my thanks for every volunteer, every team member who has put their hand to the plow this weekend to make this happen. Come on, if you're grateful, one more time. We clapped once. I think twice probably suffices. But I came home on the Wednesday night of conference week, and I was exhausted. It was like 1 in the morning. I'd been doing something silly, like making little packs for the intermediate kids or something like that. And I come home, and at the time, I was living in my parents' house. And so I came home, and it was 1 in the morning, dark. And I came home, mum and dad were like snoring. They were like out cold. And so that was fantastic. Just, I don't know why you actually didn't need to know that. But I came home and I was thirsty. Have you ever been like really thirsty? Like really thirsty before, like parched. Like even when you drink water, you're still thirsty and you keep drinking and drinking and drinking until the point where you feel sick, but you're like, I should be satisfied, but I just want to spew everywhere over my house right now and I'm still thirsty. It's a lose-lose. But I was so thirsty and I got a glass of water and I just was taking a nice drink, and then out of somewhere there was this sound. It was like, and I was like, it's not what mum and dad sound like when they snore. I don't know what this is. And in my panic, I grabbed a knife just in case, because you never can be too safe in your mum and dad's kitchen. I was just like, okay, if someone's coming for me. I don't know why they're coming for me going, you know. but it, just in case, I've got a knife. I'm safe, you know. I couldn't figure out where the noise was coming from. So I went downstairs. My room was downstairs, and as I was walking to my room, the noise got louder and louder and louder. And I opened my bedroom door, and in the roof of, because it's two stories, through the roof of my bedroom was the main water pipe to the house, and it had burst. And that sound was now more like a, you know, as it was propelling down onto the carpet. And I was quite unsure what to do. So I did what any young man would do, and I asked my dad for help. I went up and they were snoring, and it's always interesting, like as a kid, I don't know if you remember, but as a kid, there's like two different ways that your parents wake up. You know, like you go into your parents' room and it's like, hey, like my mum does this anyway. I don't know if this is a universal law. I've only had one mum, but I'm just going to assume that this is what every mum does. She wakes up and she's like, But my dad, he woke up and he was more like angry and said some words I probably can't repeat. And he woke up and he was like, we've got to turn the mains off. We've got to turn the mains off. You go outside. I'll try patch the pipe, but you go outside and try and turn the mains off. And the mains, the main little screwy thing, this is showing you how much of a man I am. The main screwy thing was in a hole where spider webs were. And I stressed out. This is why I had the knife, because I was just stabbing the hole just to like to kill the spiders. I was like, this is not today, you know. I got the mains turned off, the water stopped, but the problem was that we had no idea how long it had been leaking in the room. And as we turned the lights on, it turned out that the whole room was flooded. Like you would walk on the carpet and it was you would sink into the carpet as the water came up. And so I was like, this is not great. So woke up the next day to go and do some stuff for the conference, and we left the bedroom door open so that the carpet could dry. And we put fans and heaters in the room because we were like, we've got to dry the carpet. Yeah, it's gonna be great. And I came back that day and the smell of carpet that has been saturated and at our best attempts to dry it is still somehow, it feels wetter than it was before. Like it feels like we've been very futile in our drying attempts. And to make matters worse, what I didn't tell you is we have two dogs and a cat. And for some reason, I don't know why our dogs like this, but our dogs like to do wheeze where it's wet. And so now we've not just got the damp carpet smell, but we've got wheeze, little patches of yellow all through the bedroom. And so I'm like, at this point, I'm like, there is no way I'm staying here before conference. There is no way. So I tried to sleep on the couch. I was like, oh, nah, this is not going to be good for a conference. And I booked a hotel and left mum and dad to clean it up. So that was the story, and it was fantastic. But the whole point of the story is that it interests me how one leak, one hole, was enough to turn off the whole mains to the house. I think it's the same for us as Christians. When we leak the power and the presence of God, then God shuts off the flow. Wow. Now it's important to understand that for us, the leak caused incredible damage. And for us as Christians, without knowing, without realizing, if we're not careful, we can cause damage to ourselves and to others around us. See, the truth is we all have access to a supernatural spiritual flow. It's the same flow that Jesus had. The reason I know that is in John 14, 12, Jesus said something profound. This is what he said. He said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works. Someone say, same works. I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. I don't know if you read that and get excited or not, but if you don't get excited by that, you should check your pulse and ask yourself why. Because it's exciting to me, the fact that we are going to do the same things that Jesus did, but not just the same things, even greater things. That's our mandate as Christians, is for miraculous. I know mandate's a touchy word, maybe the wrong word to use, and still feels too close, too soon. See, it's crazy because to me, like I read my Bible, I'm like, if we're supposed to do the same things that Jesus did and even greater, like just pause for a moment. Jesus did some pretty awesome stuff. Yeah. Like, okay, so Jesus, right? Like for those of us who maybe are new to Jesus, Jesus did this thing one time where he spat in dirt, made some mud and wiped it on a blind guy's eyes, and then he could see again. Yeah. Like I think if I did that, what would happen is I would spit. Also, lots of spits required. Like, I don't know if you pause to think how much spit's required for the dirt, like dry dirt, to make mud. Like mud's moist. Like there's some depth to the anyway. So, but if I did that, I'd wipe it on someone's face. I'd probably get punched in the face. Although they are blind, so they might just be swinging. You know, like I might be okay. I might be able to get out of the way. This other time, Jesus, he walked on water in the middle of a storm. Now, I've never tried to walk on water. Well, that's not true. I have tried to walk on water one time. We've all tried it. We've all tried in the pool. We've all tried. But Jesus, like, it's not just normal water. Jesus, he walks on stormy water, you know? So, like, if you're walking on water, you just imagine it'd be a casual stroll, you know, like on the water. But this is a storm. So Jesus is walking on the water, you know? Like, that's hard to do. Like, this is hard to do, you know? Jesus would have walked on water. I tried, like I said, I tried one time. I walked on the water. Well, sorry, that's a bit extreme. I tried to walk on the water, and as I went, my first foot went okay. That was good. But as I got my second foot, I went down, got a water wedgie and a water rash. It just wasn't fun for anybody, particularly for me. The crazy thing is that Jesus, like, if you read the Bible and you believe it to be true, then the expectation of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is that we would do greater things than what he did on the earth. It's crazy to me. It's crazy to me that Jesus looks at you and me and says that you are to live by faith, not limited by what you can see, but by believing for more, to be overcomers, to be the head and not the tail. To see revival, not just to see it though, but to be the revival. To be alive in the fullness of life that God has for us. To reach Tauranga and beyond for the glory of God. Even greater. Even greater. So if that's what Jesus expects of us, why is it that so many of us are stuck and struggling at times just to survive, let alone seeing miracles? Why is it that when we look across the church, we see more Christians that are like, not living miraculous than living miraculously? Could I put it to you that maybe it's because we're leaking the things that God has poured out to us to help us live, but we're leaking it instead? That didn't come out very eloquently, but if you could pretend that it did, that would help me. Maybe it's because that we're leaking the things that God wants us to have to help us be fully alive. I want to have a look in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to have a look at this story because this story for me gets me really excited. And I'm pretty excited already, but I do want to read this together. It's in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. If you didn't bring a Bible tonight, all good. Got you on the massive screens. This is what it says. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elijah and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead. And you know how he feared the Lord, but now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. Well, how can I help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil." That's how I feel when I'm really hungry. I'm like, what's in the fridge? Nothing at all, except all that ingredients. I just want something now. Like, this is too hard. And Elijah said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go to your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask and into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told, and her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon, every container, I love this, was full to the brim. Yeah. "Bring me another jar," she cried out to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her. And then, watch, the olive oil stopped flowing. Yeah. From leaky to living. Yeah. This woman, she says she has nothing in the house except some olive oil. Can I tell you that if all you have in your life is the oil of heaven, you have more than enough. Yes. You have everything you need. If you've received the anointing of God, that's all that you need in your life. Yes. I want to tell you that even if it looks like you've got nothing, but you've got God with you, then you have everything you need to succeed. But this woman, she says, "I've got nothing except a flask of olive oil." And the prophet says, "Pour it out, pour it out, pour it out." And so she pours it out, fills up jars and jars and jars until the jars run out. When I read this story, what I see is God's desire to pour out oil only on those who can contain it. It's important to understand that in the story, oil, it represents the Holy Spirit. And the jars represent our lives. So when we read this, I need you to understand that we're not just reading about a lady who just pours out oil, so now she's got more. We've got to look at this and go, that she's receiving more oil as she can contain it. And for you and for me, if we can receive the oil, God will keep pouring it out. But when there's no more jars, or when we've leaked it all out everywhere, God, he'll stop pouring out the oil. I love C3 City Church because you know who the Holy Spirit is. You know that the Holy Spirit is our power. I love this church because we're rich with the Holy Spirit. And I love that because in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I love that. Power, power, power. Why do we receive power when we receive the Holy Spirit? Because it's the power that comes from the Holy Spirit that empowers us to do the greater things Jesus has promised. We need the power of heaven in our lives if we're going to do greater than what Jesus did. And I really believe this, that God is calling us, the church of 2022, to usher in a new wave of revival in our nation. That the church, you and me, would be those living by faith. That we would be the ones who see his kingdom come and his will be done here on earth. And the only way we're going to see that, the only way we're going to see that is if we receive more oil. Is if we receive the oil. See, she had olive oil, and olive oil, it represents the Holy Spirit. And in those days, the oil was rare and it was expensive. That's the other significance here, is that God pours out what is so precious, and she's able to fundraise money, and she gets saved, and the rest of the story, it's a really great rest of the story. But for us here tonight, we need to understand that the oil of heaven, it's still precious. Yeah. It's as precious as it was back then for us today. When we become a Christian, it comes with the deal of being a Christian. When we receive Jesus, we have access to the Holy Spirit. And I love that about Jesus, that before Jesus, only a select few could access the oil. But now, because of Jesus, we have full access to the power of heaven. And I love that because it's not just for those who are smart enough. It's not just for those who are sweaty enough. It's not just for those who are good looking enough. I'm like two of those three things. I'll let you decide which two that I am. But it's for everybody. And as long as there is jars, there will be oil. Now, the thing that's important to know is there are two types of jars that are involved in our story. There are two types of story of life. That sounded really philosophical. There are two types of jars. There are two types of jars. The first type of jar is what I like to call, it's a colander, but I'd like to call this today our compromised Christian. Our compromised Christian. See, it represents the Christian who is half in, half out, who straddles the fence between I'm all in for Jesus and I'm then sort of not all in for Jesus. Compromise. See, to be compromised, the definition of compromise is the acceptance of standards that are lower than desirable. The acceptance of standards that are lower than desirable. So for us as a Christian, if we're going to be a compromised Christian, it means that we've compromised and accepted the standards in our faith that are lower than desirable. And it changes the way that we live from one of holy, following Jesus, to now compromised, living in the way of the world. What are some examples? Great question. I'll tell you. A compromised Christian is the one who always makes all of the decisions without any consultation of wise counsel or with God himself. I've got a good idea. This is my decision. Don't care if it's a dumb one. I'm going to do it anyway. Compromised Christian. This is the type of Christian who lives one way but acts another. Comes to church. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. And then goes out and does like worldly things. We say one thing, but we do another. It's compromise. We don't read the Bible unless we're in trouble. Oh, I'm facing a really hard time at work. Oh, I just need a scripture. If God is for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. But then like when life's good, we don't read the Bible. We just kind of like assume that it's all going to be okay because we're living compromised. We don't pray unless we're in trouble as well. My mum is the best at this. She prays, but she's the best at praying when she needs a car park. You know what I'm saying? She's out here like driving through Queensgate like, Jesus, I declare a car park. I'm like, yeah, awesome. You know, that's cool. But if that's the only time that we pray as Christians, when we're in trouble, when we're in need of God, then that's compromise. It's swearing and laughing at inappropriate stuff. It's not getting involved in church. It's when we make Christianity more about consuming than contributing. When I make it all about me and less about JC and the others around me, that's compromise. It's flirting to get attention, sliding into DMs. It's using pornography to feel good. It's sleeping with whoever, whenever. It's someone who enjoys a little more than just a little bit of alcohol. Someone who uses it to just satisfy their lives, you know, hitting town on a Saturday night, coming into church, just sober enough to lift your hands in worship without falling over, you know. This is compromise. It's entertaining sexual thoughts. It's harsh words. And the problem is, Sam, could I just get you to come in? Not because you're compromised, but could I just get you to just hold this for me? Just over, because I said I wouldn't make any mess tonight. I did promise. What happens is that when God begins to pour out the oil into our lives, the oil runs straight through. We leak what God gives us to be fully living because we're compromised. And what happens is we come to church and we're like, fill me up, Lord, yeah. Just fill me with your love and your power right now. And then we go out and we just go and live like the world says to live. Instead of living with conviction, instead of living uncompromised, we live fully compromised. And now there's traces of the oil. This is why it's dangerous, because there's traces. But if we were to rely on this oil to be used for the kingdom of God, there's not enough in there. And God doesn't waste what's precious to him, so he turns off the flow. Eventually we end up, that's why you feel like God's far away from you. That's why you feel like there's not God, God's not here. I come, I lift up my hands, where is my God? Where is the God? Could it be that we're just living compromised? And God's like, I want to pour out, but I don't want to waste what is precious to the kingdom of heaven. In 2016, thank you. I reckon you could rest that there. Yeah, that's good. We could have done that from the start. Thanks for coming up. I just wanted you to flex your muscles. Thanks for that. Give it up for Sam. Who loves Sam? Isn't he the man? In 2016, we had the Kaikoura earthquakes. And in Wellington, we felt them quite strongly. And an earthquake that was hundreds of kilometers away, we felt the shocks in Wellington. And what was crazy was that many buildings actually became compromised. Like, they had to shut the ramp to the Inter Islander. It was big front page Dominion Post news. How are people going to sail to the other side if they can't get on the ferry? You know what I'm saying? There was a Reading's movie theater that was closed, and in the Hutt Valley, an event movie theater that was closed because there was cracks all through the building, and some of the seats were not attached to the floor because the floor was not attached to the building. It was crazy. There were car parks that still had cars in every story that you couldn't go in because the ramps were cracked. And for insurance purposes, they didn't want anybody getting hurt because the building was compromised. The truth is that the cost of compromise is extremely high. At the time, it doesn't feel like it, but a little here, a little there. Over time, the buildings become more and more dangerous. Now, the buildings that were compromised, they got torn down with everything that was still inside. So that movie theater I was telling you about, a cost of a projector per theater room is $400,000. So with 12 rooms with projector screens, just on projector screens alone, there was $8,589,096 in New Zealand dollars based on today's currency transfer that were lost on projectors alone. That's expensive. I don't know about you. I don't have $8 million just to waste on projector screens. That's not even the screens. The screens are $8,000 alone. And then think about all the cars that get lost. I mean, the cost of compromise is really high. And if it's really high for buildings, how much more is it for us as Christians? Here's what's funny. If we don't go into buildings that are compromised, why would the Holy Spirit dwell in temples that are compromised? Why would he? Maybe the band can come and join me because that was heavy. So this is the compromised Christian, right? The one with holes. There's one more. Sam, can you just come back up, please? Thanks. This is what happens when I really think through an illustration. One more time, give it up for Sam. Yeah. Just hold that. Hold that over it. Yeah, hold that over that. Yeah, that'll be good. There's a tarp there. I'll put that over there. Is that good? I thought about it. Just don't want to ruin the carpet, you know. This represents a life of someone who is fully choosing Jesus. Two types of jars. There's the jar of compromise, and then there's the jar of someone who fully chooses Jesus. Someone who's all in with Jesus. This is the type of person who says, I will always pray no matter what the season. This is someone who says, I'll turn up to church even if it's raining. I know in Tauranga it doesn't rain too much. That's what they say. But based on my experience this weekend, it was worse than Wellington. This is the type of person who says, I'm going to read my Bible every day. Because the scriptures are God's words written to me, and I want to know more about Jesus. I'll go to church, I'll go to youth, I'll go to life groups. I'm going to fully follow Jesus. The truth is that we are all compromised. All of us. We are all compromised. That's sin. It's in our lives, we're compromised. But it's only because of the blood of Jesus that we can be made whole. So we're all naturally the colander. But we can all have the opportunity to be the container through the blood of Jesus, through relationship with Him. That's why it's so important, guys, that we have daily fellowship with Jesus. Because when God starts to pour out His oil, what happens is it goes into our lives and it doesn't leak out. We can contain it. We can hold it. See, the truth about relationship is that on my wedding day, I made a decision to go all in on one relationship. I made a decision to go deeper in my relationship with my wife. Now, imagine if I'd made that decision. I just realized I couldn't see you. How's it going? Good. Imagine if I made that decision and then, like, on the wedding day, I'm like, I love you. Thank you so much for marrying me. This is the greatest blessing of my life. Like, and then I never talked to Annalise again unless I needed something. Like dinner, you know, like. No, because I don't cook very well. McDonald's is a good friend of mine. But if that's all the relationship was, it's not going to last very long, is it? Imagine if I never saw her again unless I was in need of something. If that's all our relationship is with Jesus, I only talk to Jesus when I need Him. I only talk to Jesus or go find Him when I'm in trouble. Then that relationship is never going to last. So we quickly slip back to being the colander, but God wants us to be in relationship with Him. So here's the truth, though, is that our relationship, it's not tested at a conference. Because when we're here, it's like, yeah, fill me up. Like, this is amazing. I'm dwelling in the presence of God. The test of a genuine relationship with Jesus is what happens on Monday morning. And then on Tuesday morning. And then on Tuesday night. Then at Wednesday in that tough meeting. Thursday, another thing. What I'm trying to say is that it's not about a Sunday. If Sunday is the only place that supplements your relationship with God, God doesn't want you to be in a relationship that is supplemented by church on Sunday. God wants you to be in a relationship that's going to satisfy, that's going to go deeper than surface level. That's the desire of God, relationship. And so when we're in relationship with Him, He begins to pour out His oil on us. Not just at conferences, but every day. I seek the Lord, and He pours out more, and He pours out more, and He pours out more. And the amazing thing is that from the infilling of the Holy Spirit, watch as it now runs down the cup. Because now the Holy Spirit's not just in me, it's on me. And the world better watch out, because when I've got the power of God in me and when it's on me, everything I touch, miracles start breaking out. Everywhere I go, people are going to start experiencing the tangible presence of God. This is what happens. But you're like, it's being wasted. No, it's being utilized. This is what God's desire is for each and every single one of us, that we would be containers of the Holy Spirit. And when we pour it out, when we pour it out on others, and when we pour it out in our community, and when we spend some of this oil saving people, pointing them back to Jesus, helping them, serving our community, what God does is we come back to Him and He says, here's some more. Here's some more oil. See, my cup runneth over. My cup runs over. My cup runs over. This is how it's designed to be with God. Thanks, Sam. The Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. I've often thought about that. Like, if many are called, but few are chosen, what's the difference? I reckon that it's because many people just haven't chosen to be chosen. Like, even you might be here tonight, and you're like, yeah, this is cool and stuff. But yeah, that's the difference between living by faith and not. That's the difference between saying, I want to be someone who doesn't just feel the presence of God in a nice moment, but I want to be someone who's full to overflow. I bought too much oil. But I love that about God, is that He's got more than enough oil. You can come down to 1,000 altar calls. You can wake up on 1,000 mornings. Not 1,001 though, watch out. No. On 1,000 mornings and you can say, fill me up today, God. You can get halfway through your day. Fill me up now. God, I need you. I need you. And here tonight, I feel like the Lord wants to pour out his oil. I feel like the Lord tonight wants to pour out his oil. I feel the Lord tonight saying, if those who are hungry want it, you can have it. If those who are thirsty want it, you can have it. But only if you want it. Could you stand to your feet with me tonight, church? I believe our nation needs a fresh wind. I believe our nation needs something more of God. When Annalise and I first took over Arise Kids a couple years ago, at the start of COVID, I was real confused because I thought I was done with kids ministry, but the Lord had other ideas. And I was going for a walk and I was like, God, why is it that you've put us here? And I felt the Lord say so clearly that I've put you here to usher in a new wave of the Holy Spirit. Last night in kids, you might not know this, but we laid hands on every kid in that room, every kid that wanted it. And then they started to pray for leaders. Your kids pastor said she's never felt the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit as she did that night when the kids started praying. The difference between us and kids is that we don't have the childlike faith like they do. When you say to a kid, the Holy Spirit's going to fill you, they're like, awesome. Now, why are you not doing it? And they receive it quickly. The stumbling block is you up here. The things of the Holy Spirit, the things of heaven are too large to comprehend. But I want to encourage you tonight that this is where the anointing is. And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. If we're going to live by faith, we need the anointing. Just in this place, could you position yourself by closing your eyes and blocking out the distractions? In a moment, we're going to open the altar. It's this place down the front. There's probably a deep theological reason why it's called the altar. I like to say it's because it's where my life gets altered forever. But tonight, I want to encourage you that if you're here and you know you've been living with compromise, I want to pray with you. I want to pray that things get realigned tonight. But if you're here tonight and you're saying, I want more of the Holy Ghost. I want more of the power of heaven. I want to be anointed, not just half in anymore, but all in. Then in a moment, I'm going to get you to come down the front and I'm going to pray for you. And I believe the power of God is going to be poured out in this place tonight. But God, tonight, with every hand lifted, God, tonight, we call upon you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Tonight we say, God, we're going to step in beyond where we feel comfortable. We're going to get a little bit undignified for you tonight, God, because we don't want to leave the same way we came in. God, we didn't give you this weekend so that we would just go back to work tomorrow and be exactly the same as we were before. But God, tonight we are declaring revival. We are declaring revival, and we know it starts with us. So pour it out tonight, God. Pour it out tonight, God.